I'm sorry.
You're all right. Welcome back.
I really had to pee. I'm not muted. I also got a snack, but the main impetus was having to pee.
Those things happen.
Especially when you're drinking. Whenever. Wait, open this. Salsa verde. Oh, it's so watery. Shit. Am I supposed to eat this? This is some bullshit. Look at the consistency of the salsa. That is some fucking bullshit.
I mean, put the top back on that and shake that up, because that's fucked.
Yeah, but it looks like it belongs like on a enchilada, not like to be scooped on chips. I'm sad. Okay. Why don't I have an enchilada?
One, two, three, four.
And we're back, folks. Next up, Raid Mar-a-Lago Legends. Here, I don't know how many online live service mobile games you're familiar with, but that is a play on Raid Shadow Legends. Anyway.
I see. I would have been like Raiders of the Mar-a-Lago.
Well, we are getting a new Indiana Jones movie, so I can see why you might. Anyway, federal agents executed a search warrant at Mar-a-Lago on August 8th of 2022 to find any remaining documents with classified markings. The FBI found a total of 102 documents. 27 were found in Trump's office, and 75 were found in the storage room. Yes, that's bananas, a bananas number. 17 were top secret, a designation reserved for information that would cause, quote, exceptionally grave damage to the national security of the United States if exposed. The 31 charges Trump faces for retaining documents all concern documents seized in the FBI search or those handed over by Corcoran in response to the May 23rd subpoena. Trump is not charged with retaining any of the documents he voluntarily handed over to NARA earlier in 2022. I think we covered a large portion of that earlier. So, Carol, after you with the mouthful of chips and salsa.
Not a good witness.
Say it one more time for the record.
Not a good witness. Even worse liar. Nauta, charged with 5 counts, including lying to federal agents, told investigators in a voluntary interview that he was not aware of any boxes being moved to Trump's residence and said he first became aware of them when he was asked to help move them into a truck to hand over to NARA, which, we saw before about how that's a lie. Investigators asked Nauta if he could, quote, help us understand, like, where they are kept, how they were kept, were they secured, were they locked? Nauta allegedly replied, I wish I could tell you. I don't know. I honestly just don't know.
And, you know, you can cut to the security camera footage that the Department of Justice subpoenaed. You'd be like, oh, he's a fucking liar. Lock his ass up, too. And that is probably where one of Nada's charges came from lying to investigators. I mean, pretty cut and dry, straightforward. He just lied his ass off. Evan got corked. In sealed proceedings in March, a federal judge, crime fraud, accepted Evan Court. And I guess I should, like, trademark that phrase, crime fraud accepted, like, as a verb. Because.
You got it this time. Yeah, it's a trademark.
Yeah. A federal judge, crime fraud accepted Corcoran, piercing the attorney-client privilege, and ordered him to testify before the grand jury and provide evidence to federal investigators. In sum and substance, Trump on one occasion told the following story, is memorialized by Trump Attorney 1, which we know to be Evan Corcoran. Clinton's attorney, as in Hillary Clinton, he was great. I guess I could do the Trump voice. Clinton attorney, because we don't know specifically.
Hillary Clinton attorney.
He was great. He did a great job. You know what? He said that it was him. That he was the one who deleted all of her emails, the 30,000 emails, because they basically they dealt with her scheduling and her going to the gym and to beauty appointments. And he was great. And he didn't get in any trouble. Because he said that he was the one who deleted them. This seems to be Trump's mob boss way of speaking in an attempt to get Corcoran to destroy some evidence.
It also sounds like he's acknowledging that Hillary Clinton's emails were not relevant to national security and were about, matters like gym schedule and hair appointments. So
yeah, he totally understands the nature of the emails that Hillary Clinton had in her possession on the server. Whenever he's in private, he's totally okay with making, honest admissions that he totally understands that what he does in public is performative and full of shit. So, yeah, a lot of evidence of that here. I specifically believe they included that in the indictment just to point out the hypocrisy in that they know whenever he summons the what about Hillary Clinton's email? I don't want to do but her emails. But yeah, the what about Hillary Clinton's emails defense that he knows he's full of shit.
The one about her hair in the gym
during Corcoran's conversation with Trump about what to do with the documents he recovered in the search and whether Corcoran should bring them to his hotel room and put them in a safe there. During that conversation, Trump made a plucking motion as memorialized by Corcoran. He made a funny motion as though, well, okay, why don't you take them with you to your hotel room? And if there's anything really bad in there, pluck it out. And he was, and that was the motion that he made. He didn't say that. So he's
like charades, and they have to convey his messages in Pictionary, and he sends them back in charades.
Again, the mob boss thing where he's like, making hand gestures as to what he wants to be done, but he doesn't want to say it out loud because, again, he'd be verbally asking his lawyer to commit a felony.
Family espionage matters. I remember that show where Steve Urkel was a spy. on May 30th, 2022, that would have probably been Stefan Urkel.
Carol,
on May
30th,
2022.
Do you enjoy the names of these? Do you enjoy the names of these subtopics?
Yeah, we elder millennials are all really into it.
Yeah, I try to entertain slightly when I can.
Okay. May 30th, 2022 at 9:08 a.m. Trump and Nauta spoke by phone for approximately 30 seconds. Huh. Between 10:02 a.m. and 11:51 a.m., Nauta removed a total of approximately 50 boxes from the storage room. On May 30th, 2022 at 12:33 p.m., a Trump family member texted Nauta. Good afternoon. Happy Memorial Day. I saw you put boxes to POTUS room. Just an FYI, I will text him as well. Not sure how many he wants to take on Friday on the plane. We will not have room for them. Plane will be full with luggage. Thank you. Is this a family member?
Yes.
Nauta replied, good afternoon, ma'am. Smiley face emoji. Oh.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I think he wanted to pick from them. I don't imagine him wanting to take the boxes. He told me to put them in the room and that he was going to talk to you about them. So yeah, you can see, I guess they'll say the 30 seconds must have been the phone call. Maybe we'll actually hear a recording of it because for all his being super careful, there are a lot of recordings of him incriminating himself.
Yeah. Well, the recording in the meeting with Mark Meadows, Ryder and such, Trump recorded that on purpose. I'm not entirely sure he would have recorded this phone call on purpose. Yeah, but you can assume that 30-second phone call was giving Nauta the order to grab the boxes for him. But also, if you have not gathered from Nauta's communications here, it seems that other Trump family members may or may not have been aware of Trump's plot to conceal these classified documents. The individual he referred to as ma'am in his text message. We're assuming that was either Melania or Ivanka, but I guess it's entirely possible it could be Laura. I mean, we could pull up the video footage and see who flew with him to Bedminster. So for the summer, but yeah, it's also insane. Again, look, and there's video footage of this. You can look this up of them loading a number of boxes onto the plane to Bedminster in May of 2022. That looks very suspicious in retrospect. Now that we have this indictment unsealed and the timing and the time frame. So I don't know. could potentially, I mean, one of Trump's family members, one of his close family members could potentially become a witness at his trial. So that should be fun. Or, you know, even worse, could potentially warrant charges, criminal charges of their own. Something fun to look forward to.
So why is the person not mentioned by name? That's interesting.
Well,
if they have the text messages.
In the indictment, they redact the names of individuals who weren't charged, right? Huh. That's generally how that goes. I mean, we can put two and two together, like with
that
the
Ivana
Trump employees,
was killed because she kicked some of the documents off the plane,
and the other lawyers and the family member. I mean, we can do the math on that. I've just been lazy.
Yeah, we know it's Ivanka. Let's move on.
But yeah, that
Melania was probably like, "I come later myself."
Well, we know Melania doesn't have too much particular interest in the classified documents because we're not entirely certain she can even read English, let alone speak it. But, you know, of course, her handlers might. Anyway, Trump hires the best people to send him to prison. Trump, according to the Washington Post, was extremely stubborn when negotiating with government officials over the return of the classified documents. When his attorney, Christopher Kai, suggested meeting with the DOJ to negotiate a settlement that could avoid criminal charges, Trump rejected that idea and instead relied on the advice of Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton.
Sorry.
Bad decision. Who told
him... Hey, is he a lawyer?
He's not a good one. Who told him
he's not a lawyer.
Who told him he could keep the documents and then he should fight the Justice Department efforts to have them returned to the federal government. Trump would regularly refer to recommendations from Fitton to his advisors as the disagreement with investigators continued, with Fitton asserting to Trump's attorneys that he could keep the documents. Several of those advisors say they blame Fitton for convincing Trump that he had the right to keep the classified documents. Some advisors added that the FBI and the National Archives' insistence that Trump return the government documents only made him want to keep them more.
Sounds like my five-year-old.
Yeah. Well, they failed to mention that Trump never had any plans of returning the documents either way. Fitton relayed to the Washington Post that he didn't understand, quote, any of the indictment, but that he believed that the Trump, or that the charges leveled against Trump were a, quote, trap.
Huh. Interesting that a non-lawyer blowhard could not understand this indictment.
Well, I read it for you in its entirety on the podcast in the previous episode.
It's not that hard to explain. It's a very simple narrative.
Very straightforward. Trump and his allies have continued to cite the 1978 Presidential Records Act as justification for his keeping of the classified material, despite the law specifically stating that any materials created by the president or his staff while carrying out official duties belong to the government.
Yeah, so, the indictment also laid out a series of criteria for determining if and when presidents could take the documents from their presidency. And it established pretty definitively that he and these documents did not meet any of those qualifications. It was need to know, purpose, stuff like that. They debunked any of the possible arguments he might put forward there. So they're really...
Well, according to the Presidential Records Act, any records created to assist in the doing of the job do not belong to the president. They belong to the government. And upon leaving office, those documents are supposed to go to NARA. The classified documents that Trump took, those
belong to... All right, that would be my argument if I had to be Trump's lawyer right now. He doesn't know shit about how to do the job, and he doesn't understand how to do the job. So how could he possibly know what was required to do the job? Because he's an ignorant buffoon.
Stupidity, yes.
Case closed.
Well, the classified documents aren't subject to the Presidential Records Act. They're subject to the Espionage Act. Because anyway,
even better.
Yeah, that's why Trump isn't facing Presidential Records Act charges. All right, Carol, Loose cannon.
Sorry, I'm just thinking about how Tom Fitton studied white male grievance law.
Okay. Yeah. You know, another thing I wanted to get back to real quick is Trump's lawyers had a plan to keep him out of prison. And Trump was like, nah, I'm going to go with this other idea over here of continuing to break the law.
Well, because the only people who he likes are yes men. And yeah, to get a yes man for his increasingly crazy ideas, he needs increasingly less sane or more immoral people.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, we've talked about this on the podcast recently. As you know, investigative developments were made public. It appeared that, you know, we were saying that it appeared that Trump continued to be looking for yes men, individuals who would tell him what he wanted to hear, not necessarily give him advice on what is actually legal and what is not. And it, you know, that is his inclination, but that's also what led him to facing 37 criminal counts in this fucking indictment, because he don't want to fucking listen.
Yeah, well, again, and also when you start hiring dumber and dumber people because they're willing to tell you what you want, it doesn't help your case. It's better to have a good lawyer. But anyway, for a nightmare client.
Or even a lawyer in the case of Tom Fitton, like, who's not a lawyer, just get a lawyer. That would be a start.
Like, maybe Jenna Ellis would have been like, no, you have to apply. I don't want anything to do with this. U.S. District Attorney, loose cannon. U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon issued her first order since former President Donald Trump pleaded not guilty to charges brought by Special Counsel Jack Smith. In a Thursday order, Cannon gave, quote, all attorneys of record and forthcoming attorneys of record, quote, a Friday deadline for getting in touch with the Justice Department's litigation security group so that they can expedite, quote, the necessary clearance process, quote, unquote, with a June 20th deadline, confirming their compliance with her order. Okay, so first of all, it's pretty funny that she has to include and forthcoming attorneys of record, because he doesn't, in case he gets an attorney by tomorrow.
Well, he doesn't currently have an attorney that's barred to practice in Florida, which, you know, again, former president of the United States can't find a fucking criminal lawyer in the entire state to represent him. So I'm assuming that she's implying that Trump should find an attorney who's barred to work in Florida. I mean,
it's just funny he can't find a fucking lawyer.
It's quite sad. Apparently, Nada also has failed to find a lawyer barred in Florida, so I'm sure that's going to be an obstacle for him as well. Of course, so this order telling Trump's lawyers to contact DOJ to make sure they get some temporary security clearances to handle these specific documents so they can be appropriately prepared for defending Trump in a trial.
Oh, so he not only needs lawyers who are willing to represent him, but lawyers who are capable of getting that sort of security clearance.
Well, I was going to bring that up because one of his current lawyers, Christopher Kies, is currently a registered foreign agent. So he's going to have some extra hurdles in that department.
Yeah, I can't look at a lot of those. There's no foreign ones, right?
Well, yeah, those are no foreign nationals, but again,
not a foreign agent. Oh, well, that doesn't seem much better. a review of the Southern District of Florida dockets show Cannon's criminal work consists almost entirely of a small category of cases: distribution of controlled substance, illegal reentry of people who had previously been deported, felons in possession of firearms and child pornography or trafficking. So, you know, not.
No Espionage Act cases, no serious criminal investigations / trials.
Well, I mean,
yeah, she's lacking in judicial experience. Again, Trump appointed Eileen Cannon November of 2020, shortly before leaving office. So,
right.
Yeah.
So nearly all have resulted in plea agreements. These are Cannon's cases. And four that did not, of her cases that resulted in plea agreements, were were handled in brief trials that lasted no more than 3 days apiece in court. So yes, not a lot of experience in court. This highlights her lack of experience in criminal cases, trials, and the proper handling of classified information.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I could have not read that sentence. Given her lack of resume, combined with her seeming lawless ruling in favor of Trump's civil case against the DOJ, after executing the search warrant at Mar-a-Lago, rulings later overturned by the 11th Circuit, people worry that this makes her unpredictable variable in the DOJ's case against Trump. But I'm like,
yeah, if you're not
the 11th Circuit will smack her down again later and she knows it. So she already tried that.
Maybe. Well, maybe. So, all right. So if you're not familiar with her previous work, once the Trump made the fact that the DOJ executed a search warrant at Mar-a-Lago, once he made that information public, he proceeded to file a civil case in which, well, against the Department of Justice to get the underlying affidavit released. That did not go well in Judge Aileen's court. She made a bunch of insane rulings that were overturned by the 11th Circuit. They were not pleased with the shit fuckery she was engaging in, tossed out her, you know, order for a special master and other such things. It's total dumpster fire. They was hot. They was like, bitch, you crazy. Nix all of this shit. But it did have the effect of delaying the investigation for nearly 2 months. The fact that she's presiding over Trump's trial represents a number of potential obstacles, because there are things that she could do that might absolutely tank the Department of Justice's chances of landing a conviction at trial. For instance, you know, throwing out evidence, or, you know, ruling that the evidence the DOJ obtained from Trump's lawyers because they were crime fraud accepted is inadmissible. Or the idea that that recording of Trump where he was confessing that he knew the documents weren't classified and that he wasn't supposed to be showing them and that he knew they were classified, blah, blah, blah. She could throw that evidence out because it's too prejudicial. Or she could do things like, once the trial is underway, she could just dismiss the trial or dismiss the charges with prejudice. Meaning, in that set of circumstances, you know, DOJ is out of luck. They can't reindict Trump on these same specific charges. But there are some obstacles to her shenanigans, given that the nature of the documents is they're highly classified. So DOJ will be operating under SEPA rules, the Classified Information Procedures Act. One of the most important aspects of this particular act, or as it pertains to what we're discussing here, the hurdles with Aileen Cannon, is that most of her rulings will be immediately appealable to the 11th Circuit. So before a trial, should she engage in some shenanigans and make some absurd orders the way she did in the civil case, DOJ can immediately appeal to the 11th Circuit, say, hey, this shit is crazy. What the fuck is she doing? Have this all removed from this case.
And I don't know. It depends. I wonder how much she's willing to stake her career on this. The situation you described earlier where she just like throws it out with,
personally, I think she gives no fucks.
Yeah, but
you know, if she manages to tank this, if she manages to tank this case for Trump, I'm sure she'll get like $1 trillion in dark money under the table somehow. But again, there are obstacles in her way. She would have to maneuver this in such a way she doesn't make any decisions appealable to the 11th Circuit until the trial begins, at which point she could decide to tank the trial in a number of ways. But even still, the Department of Justice has a way around that. And I don't know if anyone else has covered this in the news up to this point. But if you'll notice, DOJ charged Trump for 31 individual counts of possession of classified documents, one count for each of those documents. Should those charges get dismissed, DOJ won't be able to charge Trump again for those individual documents, but they do have a number of other documents that they have yet to file charges against Trump with. So in theory, they could charge him for, you know, illegal retention of those documents. Should they be willing to declassify them for use in a criminal trial? So it's entirely possible Cannon could muck this up or delay it inevitably, or tank the trial, which will also cause a delay. But DOJ could refile charges with different documents using some of the same evidence that they've already acquired in their previous investigative efforts. So while it might be unfortunate if something like that should happen, and of course, should DOJ have to file new charges again, a trial wouldn't take place until well into 2025 at that point, long after the 2024 election. But should Trump lose the election in 2024, and these shenanigans happen, it doesn't mean Trump is off the hook in terms of criminal consequences or legal consequences. So again, as usual, this generally comes down to, you can't necessarily rely on the legal system to take care of everything. We're going to have to do a lot of work on our own in 2024, potentially, to save ourselves by voting and convincing others to get out and vote and make sure we don't let this motherfucker back in office so he can find a way to escape accountability. All right, Carol.
We got the unanswerable questions. Those unanswerable questions.
Yeah.
Let's take turns. Did the FBI recover all the documents Trump removed from the White House?
We don't know. We have no idea how many documents Trump left with in January of 2021 upon leaving office. There's just no way to know. I'm not entirely sure the FBI or the Department of Justice knows. I'm sure they've done a thorough and extensive investigation and looked at, you know, all kinds of logs of cross-referencing when the documents in Trump's possession were checked in and checked out in the White House during the time he was in office, and then cross-referencing any times those individuals may have accessed other classified information.
I thought we weren't supposed to answer these in earnest.
Well, I mean, I'm just...
Didn't you yell at me last time? I mean, you never yelled at me. You would never.
No, that was reckless speculation. This is just unanswerable questions. I don't know. I'm speculating. I have no idea. I'm sure they've done that.
What happened to the documents Trump took back to Bedminster?
All right. So my theory on the documents that Trump took to... So a lot of people are saying Trump took a bunch of documents from Mar-a-Lago to Bedminster and disappeared them. And I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I do suppose anything is possible, but from what I understand about the way Trump operated with these documents, again, look, so it was an open secret when Trump was at the White House that he just boxes and boxes of shit would follow him around. So I'm assuming these documents are things that he collected over the course of the 4 years while he was in the White House, and he's just a fucking hoarder. So when he took all this shit to Mar-a-Lago, upon leaving office, when he, you know, packed them off for the summer to take them off to Bedminster, I'm assuming these are just all the same boxes and they follow him around. So when he left from Bedminster to go back to Mar-a-Lago for the winter, he packed up the boxes and brought them back to Mar-a-Lago with him, right? These are, you know, these are his precious.
Right? Why hasn't the FBI searched Trump's Bedminster property for documents? Oh.
Are you trying to get me to shut the fuck up, Carol?
No, you just got a lot to get through.
All right.
Why has not the FBI? Maybe they have. Would we necessarily know? I mean, I guess he blabs about everything, but maybe if while he wasn't there, they would be like, please don't tell him. Like,
if they had executed a public search warrant or executed a search warrant, we would know. There's no way for that information to have not become public in some shape, form, or fashion. But I, you know, again, I don't know. But I would imagine the way search warrants work, you have to have like fresh evidence that the information or the evidence that the Department of Justice is looking for, that like that would be found in a specific location. So the fact that we have evidence that Trump had the documents in Bedminster last year is just not recent enough. Like, there's no evidence to suggest that the documents still are still there. But I imagine they've interviewed a number of Trump Organization employees who may or may not have some insight as to whether or not there could be documents at Bedminster. And if they don't come up with anything concrete that they could rely on to get in front of a judge and say, hey, look, we need to go in there and try and hunt this shit down, a judge won't sign off on it. So I'm assuming that, you know, it either came back negative, you know, whatever their investigative tools they use to discern whether or not there might be documents at Bedminster, that came back either negative or inconclusive. So, you know, that's my theory on that. I don't know. I mean, it's entirely possible at some point they could go into Bedminster. We have no fucking idea.
Sorry, I was just noticing that Ty is tweeting. What the fuck? Yo, what the fuck?
Ty ain't checking her DMs. it's fine. I only have my DMs on because we're in a room together. Oh. That's the only that's the only thing I have alerts on for on Twitter. So what happened? The document detailing an invasion of Iran was never recovered. Did Trump actually possess it? And if so, where is it? I mean, I guess this goes back to.
Did Ivanka take it to the U.S. Open? Retro speculation.
All right. First of all, we actually don't even know if the document that Trump was supposedly showing to other individuals when he was recording himself at the meeting in Bedminster, whether or not that was the actual document or whether that was just Trump lying and bragging and trying to gain some clout by owning General Milley.
He'd be the first person maybe to worsen the severity of his espionage charges by making up stuff that was even more classified. That
can't be verified. So it's possible
it's actually worse than you think.
Yeah, that's fucking stupid. I mean, he could have just grabbed some kind of classified document and been trying to brag and be like, hey, see, look, this is, you know, the war plans for Iran that Milley drew up. So he's a fucking loser. Forget what he says, right? Even if it's not that actual document. Or it could have actually been the document. And, you know, who knows what the fuck happened to it. Again, like, you know, Saudis would be very interested in something, you know, war plans for Iran, given, you know, well, they got beef, yo. So they'd be very interested in information that the United States intelligence communities could offer on Iran's potential armed response and vulnerabilities and such. Who knows? Again, like unanswerable questions. It's impossible to answer. That's kind of the point. Trump showed classified documents to individuals with no security clearance on more than one occasion. So how many other people did he show them to?
Kid Rock. at least, I mean, I saw that on like he was on a Tucker Carlson interview and he was like, I don't think I should have saw whatever he was showing me. And I was like, man, I don't know how to make decisions on your war plans.
I mean, we knew way back when. So I think Rolling Stone did the interview and he was talking about it with them. And we were like, yeah, that's fucking crazy. You know, he's asking Kid Rock what he thinks Kid Rock should do in response to, you know, North Korea's attempt to create nuclear weapons. And I'm like, I don't think you should be asking Kid Rock's advice on any fucking thing, especially
when he's going to hit the talk show circuit about it.
I mean, it's just wild, man. This is totally bonkers. But yeah, there's no telling. Like, he could have showed this shit to literally anyone. Who it is impossible to know.
I just like that Kid Rock went on at least two shows, it sounds like, because I saw the one I saw was Tucker Carlson, and he's just like such a. He's like, yeah, Trump is like a loose cannon, and he showed me these national security documents, and I was like, you shouldn't be showing me this. This is a risk. But I love him. He's great.
Yeah, well, Kid Rock was like, am I supposed to be looking at this?
My cat's butthole.
No, this is, oh. Yes, you, okay.
My cat so is Daryl's, showing Derek.
Carol's cat is on the desk in front of the camera in the Zoom. Well, yes. And her cat's butthole is all in the Zoom. Side note, side tangent. What was that? Oh, the Penn State professor who was having sex with his dog. I mean, this is, you know, her cat's butthole is about as graphic as that. So that was.
It's much less graphic. This cat is just chilling. Nobody is doing anything non-consensual to this cat.
Well, no one's doing anything untoward towards the cat. The cat was just wandering around, butthole in the air. No one was like inserting anything in it, unlike this professor and the dog.
Very specific. There are a lot of specifics of this denial now.
I mean, the crazy thing about this thing was where he was like, all right, well, he said, and I quote, I'm done. I'm dead. You don't understand. I do it to blow off steam. Well, that was insane. First of all, bro, get you a girlfriend or a boyfriend. I don't make any judgments about your particular sexual proclivities. Happy Pride Month, yo.
With consenting adult humans.
Yeah, human beings. Don't be out here fucking the dogs. But second of all, like, you do this to blow off steam. Apparently, he had been doing this for years. How much steam you got to blow off, homie? And how you get caught on camera? Anyway, yeah, not a drag queen. All right.
Why did he want these specific documents in the first place?
Okay. We're going to have to tackle that one on another podcast. I mean, I have some theories about him collecting documents over the course of time in the White House as he was being faced with various scandals. And I think he was collecting classified information specifically to combat the narrative.
Yes, Kevin. Okay.
The public narrative at particular instances in time. One of the things in the indictment where they're moving the boxes around and they refer to them as the Beautiful Mind boxes, like a reference to the fucking movie. And what they mean by that is they believe Trump sees some you poor thing, Carol.
I'm fine. This,
pussy is wearing you out, huh?
My cat pulled out my earphones.
Pussy one, Carol zero. So they're referring to the documents as Beautiful Mind documents, with the implication being that Trump sees some kind of like, well, in Trump's mind, there's some, you know, deep connective pattern to these documents that make some sense in his mind, but are insane to everyone else. Meaning that they think Trump's a fucking psycho. They think he's bananas, but they just follow fucking orders, I guess. I don't know. But we'll get into that on another episode, because that's more than we can do here, because we about to wrap this thing the fuck up. Because I've been talking nonstop and won't shut the fuck up and won't stop rambling. Pardon the Insurrection podcast. Sign up for that every week. Were any of the documents in Trump's possession given to foreign nationals? Again, it's impossible to know, but I am sure the FBI and the CIA and the NSA and other intelligence agencies are doing their best as far as a damage assessment goes once they receive the once the FBI recovered the documents in the search and the 11th Circuit got Cannon up out the paint so they could do their fucking job. I'm sure they have a number of means to decipher whether or not they believe any of the information in those documents made their way into the hands of foreign nationals, foreign adversaries, foreign governments, and whatnot. We'll never know the answer, or at least I doubt it. But, you know, given some of the nature of the reporting we received last year.
Wild speculation, yes. Yeah.
About a number of informants for our intelligence services going missing or being found dead. It's not impossible for them to connect the dots if these documents had any implications in their death. So, you know, we'll never know. We'll never be able to answer, but they're looking. They're definitely looking. Even if Trump didn't actively share the documents with foreign nationals, given that multiple foreign spies have been found, or rather had been apprehended infiltrating Mar-a-Lago, could they have secretly accessed the documents?
Oh, for sure. I mean, secretly they were out. They were out for anyone to see in the ballroom where they were hosting events. Who, I don't know where the bathroom in the picture was, but like, I hope that's not the master bathroom. That's
no,
like,
that's not Trump's bathroom. I don't think it might have been a staff bathroom or something. Like, but
just from the description of their security measures and lack thereof, like anybody could have gotten to these documents. I believe the indictment said tens of thousands of people had been there over the period of time where the documents would have been present. Yes.
Yes, these were the least secure, highly classified documents in the history of classified documents. So there was that one incident where one of Trump's aides had some. Anyway, we'll get to that in just a second. But yeah, anyone, literally anyone in the fucking building could have got access to these documents because Trump didn't fucking have no like security stationed outside of the rooms where they were at. Like, that's why this shit is in fucking skiff in government buildings.
Have we lost any intelligence assets due to Trump's mishandling of classified information in or out of office?
I think we covered some of that with the documents, yeah. But we know Trump, when he was in office, was prone to revealing classified information to what I would consider our enemies, even though they were his allies. A big fucking surprise there. I mean, even early on in his administration, when he had the Russian ambassador in his office and revealed classified information that was very sensitive, that was gathered by our allies in Israel, that could have had potential. I mean, we don't know the long-term potential consequences of whatever the fuck he gave up. But I mean, like, if he's doing that week one in office, like, there's no telling what the fuck he was doing over the course of the 4 years he was in office. And damn sure ain't no telling what he been doing since he left.
And his conduct and his indifference to lying or doing something wrong, procedurally, morally wrong, in any way wrong, he is totally indifferent to right and wrong. And yes.
As we can conclude from that recording where he's on tape just being like, fuck the fact that this shit ain't classified, and they laughed about it.
And the amount they're traveling it around, having people transport it, the availability of that it is to so many.
Oh my God, it's insane.
To so many people, it's very reasonable to assume that some of it has gone missing.
Walt Nada found one of them boxes spilled over in the storage room with the classified documents just out. And they was like, I don't even know what the fuck happened.
They're texting it to people. Like, didn't you say they were texting it to each other?
Nada took the fucking picture of it and sent it and texted it to somebody.
That's like one document. That's a documented incident. How many? Every documented incident, there's at least 10 undocumented incidents.
There's no telling. And there's been all kinds of spies down in Mar-a-Lago, like, that we know for sure. A couple apprehended. You know, it had individuals using fake identities to get access to if you a foreign adversary and you ain't had no spies down in Mar-a-Lago, y'all fucking up. Y'all ain't doing y'all's job right. All right. How often does Trump use other people's phones to communicate, and how effective has this been in avoiding law enforcement collecting evidence on him? Again, we kind of tackled that earlier. Like, I mean, it seems to be a recurring pattern.
Yeah, so let's give it the same 1 in 10 chances for every one reported. Let's say there's 10 unreported.
I mean, Trump don't text, he don't use email, but he uses other people's phones, but apparently he also records himself saying incriminating shit. So you kind of defeated the whole purpose there, dumbass.
Well, he also goes to rallies and says incriminating shit on live TV because he just can't shut up or stop bragging about himself, what he considers bragging.
Well, part of it is also him mounting his political defense in public at the expense of his legal defense. So,
Go on, dear.
What were you saying?
I was just going to read the next thing.
Oh, why didn't the special counsel's office ask for any conditions for Trump's release and his arraignment? So, the arraignment of Trump in South Florida went off without a hitch. I am largely thinking Merrick Garland spending an extensive amount of time and resources locking a bunch of motherfuckers up from January 6th. Because if that hadn't happened, if those people hadn't faced consequences, I could absolutely guarantee you that they would have been emboldened to try some shit the second Trump got indicted. So kudos to Garland. We appreciate you. Thank you, DOJ, for doing your jobs. But also, again, it's at the arraignment, the judge read off a number of the normal pretrial release conditions. But apparently the Department of Justice asked for none of those. Like, normally you're supposed to surrender your passport and you're not supposed to travel out of the state without getting an approval from the government first and all these other things. You know, obviously the Department of Justice either doesn't seem to think Trump is a flight risk because, you know, again, someone with means and ways to travel abroad and finances to do so would normally have to surrender their passport. Department of Justice didn't ask for any of that. And I think,
I think everyone in the world probably would recognize him.
Well, there's that. But I think, you know, Trump does that thing where he argues about how unfairly he's treated by law enforcement. But I mean, quite to the contrary, the only way Trump has been unfairly treated by law enforcement is they give him the benefit of the doubt with nearly everything. So, I mean, he's been beyond treated fairly for the most part. But also, I mean, I'm assuming it would be fucking hilarious, you know, at least in Jack Smith's eyes, if Trump did fucking flee the country. That would be perfect. He'd be like, great, don't come back. Mission 2024, mission accomplished. No, I don't know. It just, you know,
I think it's more of a don't interrupt, never interrupt your enemy while he's making a mistake sort of situation.
Right. Give Trump as much of a leash as possible so he can't make any absurd claims in court. But if he does do something insane to fuck up, like commit another crime before the trial, then I'm fairly sure at that point, Jack Smith and the special counsel's office will have his ass hammered. We assume that unless found guilty, Trump won't be spending any time in jail. But there are things he could do to fuck up being out on bond at this point. And I'm not entirely certain if he paid a bond. There's no documentation of such. But if you look at the bond papers, I think there's a page missing. So who knows if he signed over some collateral I don't know. It's entirely possible. Yep. But that sums up the indictment of Trump by Jack Smith's office, or at least this particular indictment. There could be many more coming. Again, Jack Smith is investigating a number of things, not just this, but January 6th, the fake electors, the plot in general to overturn the 2020 election, his fundraising off the election lies, his PAC, his super PAC, his campaign. They're investigating True Social. They're investigating the SPAC that was supposed to merge with True Social. Which is wild. Like, how do you get busted for double dipping? Like, how you pull that off? You know, a number of things. Is ties to Liv, who's also being investigated by Congress, they're also being investigated by the Department of Justice for a separate matter. Antitrust violations for their intentions to merger with the PGA Golf Tour. So yeah, they got a triple whammy of investigations going on there. Yeah, so I don't think Jack Smith is done. I mean, it's entirely possible at this point, like, he could beat Fannie Willis to indictments in Georgia for that fake elector plot. I don't know. But yeah, that is the indictment in sum. I mean, it's far more extensive than that, and I do recommend you read it in its entirety so you understand the nature of all the evidence involved. And when some fucking moron tries to argue with you on the internet, you can just point out factual information and make them look fucking stupid. All right, before we move on to our closing thoughts, I would like to give one short sports ball minute of the week. My man's Jimmy Butler, it was a valiant effort, homie. You did what you could. You got the squad to the finals. But it was like you, Bam, and some dudes out there versus Jokic. And that motherfucker is impossible to guard. There's nothing you can do with that man. He too much. Hold your head high. Jokic, I'm sorry you got robbed of your third MVP. There was like You was about to get another one. And it was like, come on, man. What about these other dudes? And then you went out here and showed that you the best player in the NBA. And you got your ring to prove it. Congratulations. Shout out all you Nuggets fans. I'm sorry y'all out there dealing with some mass shootings that you can't even enjoy your fucking NBA title. Yep, sports ball minute of the week over. All right, Carol, do you have any fucking closing thoughts for us? We've been at this for a long time. I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm just going to read this excerpt that's a screenshot from a tweet I'm currently looking at. It says, when President Donald Trump declared food for everyone to adoring fans at the popular Miami restaurant Versailles on Tuesday, he was met with cheers. But according to a report in a Miami publication, the ex-president never picked up the bill and left within 10 minutes without paying for a single order. So, as the tweet indicates, this is probably violating the terms of his bond right after having signed it. Would that have been breaking the law? They're gonna indict him with petty sandwich theft.
And Carol, I'm going to give you my closing thoughts in response to that. Trump is inclined to never pay for anything, but Jack Smith is about to make his ass pay. And that concludes this episode of Pardon the Insurrection.